Welcome back to Fashed. Sorry for the delay in episodes this week and coming out today too. I've been sick this week and just needed some extra time to plan, but here we are. Hopefully this will at least come out in time for like a little after work unwind. But if you're ever curious why there isn't a new episode at a usual time, and just so you know, the usual times are supposed to be Wednesday and Friday mornings, but a lot of the times, especially right now, while I have a lot of kind of chaos going on, they're getting pushed around. But supposed to be Wednesday and Friday mornings. And I do always try to post updates if an episode's going to be delayed on Instagram. So if you want to follow along there, the Instagram is just fasched, and it's fash.ed. I usually have it in the show notes, but honestly, I'm kind of getting a little annoyed with the new Instagram format where you see like a ton of just suggested posts instead of the accounts you actually follow. So I'm thinking of switching over to either like Twitter or TikTok for podcast updates. Let me know what you think, if you'd prefer one or the other or prefer to stick to Instagram. For now, you can always send me a DM there, or you can send an email, which both of those are posted in the show notes. So let's get to the episode for this week now, which is covering the International Accord. I do share a decent amount of like story posts on this on Instagram, and realized it can be kind of confusing because the name doesn't really make it super clear what this organization is doing and why it's important for the fashion industry. And I also feel like different people and different organizations refer to it in different ways. And even on their own website, it is referred to as the International Accord, the International Safety Accord, and the International Accord for Health and Safety in the Textile and Garment Industry. So you can see like this is super confusing to have all these different names for it. But it is really important to understand what this accord is about and to keep an eye on changes happening within it. It's always set for a certain period of time and then needs to be renewed. And the accord was developed as a response to the Rana Plaza collapse in Bangladesh that killed over 1,100 garment workers. And if you're unfamiliar with the Rana Plaza collapse, episode 9 goes over the Made in Bangladesh documentary, which was about the collapse. And if you have more time, watching the documentary is always great. It has such good information in it. It's not super long, and you can watch it for free on YouTube. The International Accord's Frequently Asked Questions page on their website provides kind of a short description of what the accord is about. And just to kind of summarize it, it states that it's a 26-month agreement between brands or retailers and trade unions to make both textile factories and ready-made garment factories safe. So basically, it covers both fabric production and the production of fully wearable clothing. And so whichever brands or groups are signing onto this accord commit to establishing workplace safety in Bangladesh. And basically, there are multiple versions of the accord because, like I said, they kind of set certain time periods for it, and then they expand on what they're doing, renew their commitments. And the most current version of the accord was released last year in 2021. And you can read more about like the specific changes that they make, like I said, on that Frequently Asked Question page, which I'll have in the show notes. So getting into now how this international accord actually helps with factory workers' safety. When brands sign on to the accord, they have to provide their full factory list, which is awesome for transparency because it should cut down on factory outsourcing, which is also something I went over in that documentary episode, if you want to listen back for a reminder. Of course, I'm sure, you know, things still happen. I'm sure outsourcing still slips through, but it really provides an extra layer of visibility for brands to commit to. And some other things the International Accord does includes conducting safety audits or inspections when they go and visit factories, and then they offer action plans for the factories and the brands that produce in them to correct for better safety. So I think it's really important that they include brands in this too, so everything's not just laid on these factories and the brands can kind of say, well, oh, the factories are taking care of it. They really include them in the whole process. And then the accord follows up with more inspections to confirm that the brands and factories are actually making these changes after they're given the action plans. So the accord also assists in safety training for management and helps employees understand their safety rights and workplace safety procedures. It even acts too as a safe avenue for workers to report safety concerns, because often factory workers can be threatened with the loss of their job and be subject to poor treatment, which, again, you can listen more about that in that same episode I keep referencing. Sorry if you haven't listened to it. It's not a long one, so it shouldn't take you super long to catch up or anything. But hopefully this kind of helps explain why the International Accord is such an important organization, and also draws your attention to why it's important for brands to sign. A lot of major brands or groups have already signed. And just to be clear before I name any of them here, a brand or group having signed the accord by no means makes it like a good brand to shop from or sustainable or anything like that. But it does mean that they've taken at least this one step to help ensure worker safety. And you can see the whole list of signatories on the website, which I'll add in the notes too. But just a couple that you might recognize are the Adidas Group, the American Eagle Group, Inditex, Mango. There's a whole bunch more. I want to say there's almost 200, definitely over 100. And a lot of the things, a lot of the signatories are groups that have signed. So if you're wondering about a very specific brand and can't figure out if they signed, feel free to reach out to me and I can help you figure it out. But one thing that I wanted to bring up in this episode is that there are a couple of notable brands that have not signed this accord and have been reached out to sign and aren't signing. And that's actually what made me think about making this episode, is that I often share posts from the fashion activism group Remake on Fashed's stories on Instagram and on my own personal account, if you follow there. And there are a couple of really big brands that I'm sure a ton of people listening have shopped from at least once before. And these are ones that Remake constantly calls out to sign on and that I wanted to touch on here. The first is Abercrombie & Fitch, which might not be all that surprising to some people, but they are really kind of having a moment now and becoming popular, especially like in influencers. I feel like I see influencers posting about their jeans all the time. So they have not signed on. The second is Skims, Kim Kardashian's brand. Again, not super surprising at all. I'm sure it'll come up quite a bit in this podcast that I'm not fans of the Kardashians, and especially their clothing and makeup brands. They have a lot of really sketchy and unethical practices, and one is that Skims has not signed on to the accord. And then the last is Levi's, which might actually be a little bit surprising because they really market themselves as providing sustainable denim. You know, kind of being this great American brand and everything. But when you actually look into Levi's brand practices, you see that there are some sketchy things going on, including not signing onto the accord when it was renewed. They were part of the accord up until 2021, but they did not sign on to renew. So even though it seems like these are like such big brands and you might not have an influence on how they operate, just being kind of one person, Remake really has put a lot of pressure on brands in the past that have ultimately signed the accord. So if you want to encourage brands, I would suggest, you know, kind of reposting their callouts and tagging the brands. That's a really easy way to just kind of help get more and more pressure on the brands without having to like create anything yourself. You'll definitely like see me do it a lot in stories on Instagram. And you can even, if you want to do more, you could email the brands or leave comments on their own social media to help these brands see that these are things that customers are paying attention to and they want brands they're shopping from to produce ethically. Okay, so just wrapping up this episode, I wanted to do another little brand spotlight. I feel like I haven't done one for a while. This, again, is kind of one of those brands that's grown into a little bit more than a small business now. I don't think I'd really call them a small business, but it's a cool brand. And I saw something really awesome on their website this morning that I knew I wanted to share. So the brand is Vitamin A. They do a lot of swimwear, but also have other clothing too. And I've been searching for some new sustainable swimwear because I have a couple of things coming up later in the summer and a lot of mine are getting worn out. So I went on their website and I've known about them for a while. They use like a ton of eco-friendly materials like recycled nylon. Some of the stuff that they use for other things include that isn't swim includes like tencel, linen, organic cotton, hemp. And then they even have a metallic fabric for their swimwear that's the world's first metallic swim fabric made with recycled nylon. So that's pretty cool already. But what caught my eye this morning actually was their new BioSculpt fabric, which is a new swim fabric that is made from plant-based fibers. So this was just super interesting to me. I'd never seen anything like it before. It still has like the UPF 50 sun protection in it, which is really great too. So you're still like super protected, but you're using eco-friendly materials. And I'm just going to read right here how they describe it, like word for word on the website. It says under one of their product descriptions, our plant-based raw material sourced from the castor bean. BioSculpt is an organic alternative to fossil fuel-based nylon fabrics with an extra lycra content for stretch support, sustainably made in California. So that sounds pretty amazing to me. The prices are definitely a little much, so I'm going to have to wait for a pretty big sale before I can try one, but I would love to even just like see what it feels like. And developing such a cool new fabric like this definitely makes sense why the prices are a little bit higher. But if anyone happens to try it out or see it anywhere and feel it, let me know. I would love to see just, you know, the texture of it, how it fits, all of that. So that's it for this episode. I will talk to you again tomorrow morning or anyone will get fashion again for Fact Friday.